Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Jason Benkis, and I am your host and the founder of Progressive Complete Health. I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, performance enhancement specialist, and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. So make sure you tune in here every week at 3 p.m. Central Time or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch up with us on social media by checking out our Facebook page, Progressive Complete Health. You can also find me on Twitter personally at GoProVeg. And if you can find us on the internet as well, www.goproveg.com. That's going to be changing, but you can still find us at GoProVeg.com. So today I want to talk to you about why you may not need to do ab exercises for that elusive six-pack. How many crunches a day do you do? 100? 500? 1,000? With the new year coming up, are you planning for a plank challenge maybe? Maybe, just maybe. You don't need to do all of this. Honestly, it depends on your goals, really. If your goal is weight loss, you don't have to do countless numbers of crunches or 20-hour planks. If your program is designed the right way, you won't really need to do any ab-specific exercises at all. In addition to that, abs are really and truly made in the kitchen. So let's start there. What does it mean that abs are made in the kitchen? Well, simply put, the shape of your outer abdominal wall, or your abdominis rectus, is shaped like a piece of bacon, basically. Yes, everybody has a six-pack set of abs. It's just that they are covered by a layer of fat, and you have to reduce the viscosity or the thickness of that layer of fat in order to see them. So this is achieved through general weight loss techniques. If you've listened to me before, then you've heard me say that weight loss comes in the form of a better diet, or to use a better term, better nutrition. 70% of weight loss is in your food choices. Those food choices need to include clean, unprocessed foods like fruits, veggies, dense whole grains, lean, unprocessed proteins, and plenty of water. Lots and lots of water. And it should exclude processed items like cookies, crackers, sugar, flour, commercially made breads, and processed meats. It should also exclude or at least severely limit alcohol. I'm talking like one a day or just like one or two drinks. Although if you really want those six-pack abs, I would just nix the alcohol altogether until you get there. Even when you get there, it's hard to maintain those six-pack abs while having a regular drinking diet. Now, your abs really start to pop out at 10% body fat and become more prominent as that fat percentage goes down. There are safety precautions to consider here as well. You need some body fat in order to survive. Men, you need about 5 to 7%. It's also going to depend on your age for your bodies to work properly. And women should really never go below 8%. Especially if they are considering having children, now or in the future. I also don't want you to think that I'm telling you to starve yourself here either, because too few calories can be just as dangerous as too many. If you restrict your diet to very few calories and then go back to eating normal, your body's metabolism will have slowed down because your intake has gone down, and it's going to stay slowed down. So most people that participate in any kind of real long-term fasting, I'm not talking about like intermittent fasting, but long-term fasting, whether for weight loss or for spiritual reasons, is going to gain that weight back more quickly after the fast. And that defeats the purpose if you're trying to lose weight. So eat real food, plenty of fruits, veggies, dense whole grains, and your body's going to get its daily intake of dietary fiber without loading up on too many calories. So eating foods that are full of vitamins and micronutrients will also keep your metabolism boosted, kind of like how your car performs better when you put better gas in it. So put better food in your body. It's going to perform better. It's going to burn off any excess that you're not using. And really, really watch out for the amount of sugar. Friend of mine posted on Facebook a picture of the back of a muffin. Now, he didn't, you know, he knew that it wasn't healthy, but the cholesterol was low and the sodium was low. So, hey, you know, two good things on there were healthy. But when you look at the fat content, this is one muffin, 38.5 grams of fat. It was like 26 grams or something like that of saturated fat. So it was mostly saturated fat. And then it had 45 grams of sugar in it, which is your daily intake for sugar. So really, if you're trying to get those six-pack abs, really try and reduce your amount of processed food, because it's usually loaded up with sugar and a lot of processed fats as well. So with that being said, do you still need to do ab-specific exercises? Honestly, it's not going to hurt you if you do them. People are always wondering, are we going to work our abs? Are we going to work our abs, you know, when I work with clients? So, you know, it's always in there. So, no, it's not going to hurt you if you do them. But do you absolutely have to do them? Not really. You know, if you're doing a full body workout and you're doing all your own exercises and in your routine, you're doing them with proper form, you may not really necessarily need to do ab exercises. Oftentimes, as trainers, we tell people they need to strengthen their core. And that's where the misconception starts. When I tell someone they need to strengthen their core muscles, they immediately go, okay, I need to work on my abs. That's only slightly true, and we'll go into that a little more in depth, but there's a difference between your core and your abs. Your abs are at the center of your core muscles. You know, it doesn't mean you need to do hundreds of crunches or sit-ups in order to work your core. Oftentimes, when I work with new clients, they get very, very nervous on their first workout because I save abs for last. It's been, you know, 45 minutes, and we haven't done abs yet. Is he going to do abs? We have to do abs. This guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Well, the truth is your core work is done throughout your entire program if your program's designed correctly and your trainer or yourself is paying attention to form. Your strength comes from your core muscles, and the core muscles are described as muscles that make up all of your torso and then some. So in the front, you have your transverse and your rectus abdominis. Those are your abdominal muscles in the center. Those muscles that run from just below your sternum to your waist are definitely included in your core. They're the center. These muscles make it possible for you to perform everyday activities from housework to sports by helping support your back when you bend over and stand up. And they work with other core muscles to assist with posture. Now, in the back, some of your back muscles are considered part of your core muscle group as well. Most people don't know this. Your lower back and the outer middle part of your back, sometimes called your lats or your latissimus dorsi, are the back muscles that are also core muscles. Strong back core muscles support your abs and help you with the actions like sitting up at your desk, bending to tie your shoe, and reaching up to take something off of a shelf. So you're also putting support on both sides of your spine as well. And we can't forget about the sides. Running down along your sides from your ribs to your upper hips are your obliques. Now, these important core muscles help you twist and bend from side to side. They're necessary for a powerful swing in golf or tennis and are vital for turning your body for a view of what's behind you or next to you, because it actually helps support your low back. So if you have low back problems, you actually want to work on strengthening your obliques throughout your workouts. Oh, and upper legs. You can't forget about upper legs. The muscles of the torso are typically the ones to come to mind when you think of your core, but they actually extend down into your legs as well. So we're getting more into the rest of the body. The core muscles of your upper body get support and assistance from your hip muscles. These include your hip flexors, your abductors, and your adductors, which move your legs in and out along the inside of your thighs. Even your hamstrings, the back of your legs and the upper portion, which extend down the backs of those thighs and into your glutes. Together, these are known as your hip extensors and are considered core muscles. So even more muscles are considered part of our core. So you see where I'm going with this full body workout. When you hit a full body workout, you're going to work your core muscles. Without these muscles to assist the rest of your core, you'd find it difficult to sit down and stand up, lift heavy items, or even extend your legs. So thank you, livestrong.com, for those definitions of the core muscles. So most trainers, depending on what your goal is going to put you through a full body workout, especially if it's weight loss, it's pretty much full body, thus using all of your core muscles throughout the workout. Now, when you use proper form, another thing that a good trainer will make sure of, your strength comes from your core muscles to move your appendages. So by default, you are using and working out your core muscles the whole hour or whatever you signed up for, if you're doing half hours or 45 minutes. So you're working out your core muscles through the entire workout. Additionally, you can work your transverse abdominis, which is that layer of abdominals below the external layer that it helps with your stability and balance, by using the drawn-in maneuver by drawing your belly button in towards your spine. So again, your transverse abdominis is what your body uses for balance and stability, which you're going to need as you get older. You might think, oh, I don't need it now, I got good balance, but trust me, as you get older, you're going to need it. The number one cause of hip fractures isn't who does and doesn't drink milk, it's falling. If you don't fall, you're not going to break your hip, most likely. Now, when I train folks, I always save ab exercises for last. Even though we don't necessarily need to do them, I always put them in last. Think about it. If you deplete your abdominals, the center of your core, first, then the rest of your workouts are going to suffer in the form of poor form. So this won't do you any good, and it can lead to injury if it continues on too long. Poor form when exercising leads to injuries. Not balancing out the muscles correctly leads to injuries. So if you're on a weight loss quest in the beginning of the year, a lot of people start out in the first couple months and then end up getting sidelined by an injury, and that's the end of it. So what good is doing things wrong, doing things with the wrong form and getting injured, but, losing 10 pounds in the first 3 months when you're going to end up gaining those 10 pounds back over the next 9 months because you got sidelined by an injury and never got back to it. So then you got to start over again next year. So a few things to remember if you're on a weight loss goal and if you're trying to really knock out those six-pack abs. Remember, abs are made in the kitchen. If you want to see them, eat healthy to lose weight and they will appear. But please, make sure you're eating. Please, don't starve yourself. Don't. There's very few people that ever need to go under 1,200 calories. You got to be really, really, really tiny. And if you can survive on 1,000 or less calories, you're probably already skinny. So don't worry about that. So make sure you're eating, but make sure you're eating good, healthy, whole food. It's this idea of volumetrics. If you're eating nutrient-dense food, it's going to fill you up quicker than something that isn't calorie-dense, such as a cookie or a cake, breads, and pastas. So abs are made in the kitchen. Remember that. Perform full-body workouts to work out your core throughout your workout. So in a workout, first, start with your balance. Balance on one leg and just kick forward, side, and back. And that automatically is going to get you to tense up your core, and especially your abs, and use your ab muscles without even really having to do much other than that. That's also going to work on your ankle stability. So start with balance. Move into, if you're ready for it, plyometrics. If you're just starting a new routine here in January, I would hold off on the plyometrics for a little bit. But then move into a full body workout where you work your chest, you work your shoulders, your back, your biceps, your triceps, your legs, and if you want, you can throw those abs in again at the end. So if you decide to do specific exercises for the abs, save them for last. So those are your tips. Also remember that abs don't mean just the core. Abs are a part of your core. So there's lots of muscles to work for your core to lead you into a happy, healthy new year. Now join me next week, which will be the last show of the year, as I'm going to review popular gyms as well as, you know, weigh out the pros and cons of each one, as well as maybe your local YMCA. Let you know which one is best for you to start your New Year's resolution and start you on your weight loss journey. Until then, may your life be filled with peace, balance, and harmony. Namaste.
That's all that I am now.